Have you ever thought about the ambience you create in your saloon? It's a subjective thing, and it can change with the sort of sailing you do. First, of course, there's the view out of the windows. When I was a young ocean walloper, I didn't want this at all. My mindset was at sea, not in harbour, and the world out there was full of big grey waves coming to get me. Not requiring a view was just as well, because I didn't have one. One of my boats was flush-decked. The others had coach roofs with scuttles, but on ex-working craft these only revealed a yard or so of side decks. Anything beyond was obscured by foot-high bulwarks which blocked the line of sight while offering an unwelcome reminder that I needed to get out the paintbrush next time I dropped anchor. When folks commented it was a shame I couldn't see the waving palm trees, I'd point out that I could hop up on deck any time I fancied to check out the coconuts, but the people with pilot houses were stuck with their windows framing large lumps of water once they went to sea. Times change, though. These days I do a lot more cruising around the coasts of Northern Europe in a relatively modern yacht, which means more anchorages and less sea. I'm keen to look around now, so I'm delighted that standing on tiptoe I can at last enjoy the passing scene. Perhaps it's because in my formative years there was no outside world to marvel at, that I've now become something a connoisseur of onboard art. When my wife and I first went to sea together, we decided to mount a picture of some sort on our forward bulkhead. I promoted a thrilling photograph of the yacht ripping along on a gritty day, making hull speed, and leaving me, the helmsman, alternately shouting for joy and cringing with fear. The lady would have none of it. "I don't like going fast," she said, "and what's the point of looking at a boat when you're on one?" Instead, she suggested a sepia print from a 19th century glass plate taken by Sutcliffe in the farmland of North Yorkshire. Two heavy horses are pulling a plough, guided by a man in rough working clothes and a floppy cap. The beasts are steaming slightly in the morning air. The earth turns like butter, and you can almost smell the loam. "That's what I want to think about when I'm on a hull in mid-Atlantic," she said. "Not some race we might have won or lost." How right she was. That image has followed us from boat to boat in the same battered oak frame. 40 years on, its message still comforts us when the chips go down. Today it's joined by an oil painting of our two last working boats, quietly anchored, but about to make sail in the dawn to steer out of our lives forever as we set a new course in a different sort of yacht. The current boat was named for my late mother, so we've a photo of her taken in the 1920s, a young woman with her life before her. There's a hoary old tapestry we bought in Bergen in 1983 of a stylized farmer and his wife. We couldn't afford it, but we had to have it. The odd-looking couple have watched our daughter grow up, joined us in many an impromptu music session, greeted our guests and frowned at our hangovers, and they've been a calming influence on many a wild night far away on the ocean. Today they cover the switchboard, which my wife finds offensive to the eye. Meanwhile, a hand-worked Cornish rag rug lies draped over a settee with jolly seashells, pirate ships, and the wistful legend, "Sing me a song of distant seas." It's quirky, but it's home.